Well, good morning. It is good to be here. Good to be together on such a beautiful day. And when Thanksgiving comes on a day like this, it just helps us all so much just to remember all the reasons that we have to be thankful. So welcome to this hybrid worship service of Fellowship Christian Reformed Church in Etobicoke. We are glad that you're here. Some more have returned from trips, and you've been away, and it's good to see you back. Some of you are gathered at home. It's good to have you with us as well. So however you are with us, whether in the sanctuary or at home, we just want you to know that we're glad that you're here, and we want you to draw closer to the Lord in our time together. We begin our worship today with the invitation of the Lord from Philippians chapter 1. I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, So that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and the praise of God. And I invite you to stand and let's sing the glory and praise of our God.
Rejoice, the Lord is King.
In the midst of our thanksgiving, let us pause in silence to recall how we so often lose sight of the gifts of each day, and most especially to their giver.
Please join in a moment of silence. Let us pray. O God, we know that we forget about you. We forget to love you. We forget to help our neighbors. We forget to thank you. Forgive us, Lord our God. You call us to live in caring community, but too often we place our wants and needs first, with those of others a distant second. You call us to share your gifts with the world around us, but we are worried that there may not be enough, and our worrying gets in the way of our sharing. For all the times when we mistreat and misuse your gifts, for all the times we assume that we get what we have by ourselves, forgive us and lead us back to the path of wisdom. Amen.
Amen. God is a gracious giver. God is gracious in forgiveness. God calls us to renew patterns and new life. We are a forgiven people. Thanks be to God.
And now that we have prayed, the question arises, why do Christians need to pray?
In the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 45, question and answer 116, does say, why do Christians need to pray?
And join us with the answer. Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking God for them.
And take your Bibles, please, and open to Psalm 116. We'll be reading that together. Now, if you're watching from home and you're not familiar with that reading that we just did from the Heidelberg Catechism, I've posted it on the website on the Scripture tab. So if you look on the live stream tab, and there should be, you should also see a Scripture tab. I've also posted that reading from the Heidelberg Catechism, but also a link to the entire Heidelberg Catechism. So later, if you want to check that out, you know where to go to check it out. So we will be referring back to question and answer 116 of the Heidelberg Catechism during this message, but I also want to read Psalm 116 as we begin. I love the Lord. I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my supplications. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord protects the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. For you have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling. I walked before the Lord in the land of the living. I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted. I said in my consternation, everyone is a liar. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Will you pray with me, please? So we read this beautiful psalm, Lord, our hearts are filled with thanksgiving for all that you have done for us. So Lord, teach us, instruct us by your Holy Spirit as we gather together around your word. Through Jesus. Amen. It's a joyous psalm, isn't it? Psalm 116. And it's a fitting prayer for a grateful Christian. It celebrates salvation. It celebrates bounty. And it's reminiscent of the Lord Jesus' own words to us, I've come to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. With all that Jesus has done for us, for the Christian, thanksgiving, gratitude should be a piece of holiday cake, shouldn't it? So what are you doing for Thanksgiving? Are you giving yourself a break from the regular routine? Are you staying home or are you traveling somewhere? How will you celebrate it? Will you get together with others or will you spend the day in quiet? Or will you end the day exhausted? All of these things are a part of our ways of celebrating Thanksgiving. It's a beloved holiday, of course, one of our favorites. Just on Friday, driving home, listening to CBC, to the radio host, they were saying that exact thing, and they were expounding the wonders of of Thanksgiving holiday, for food and for family and for harvest and for fall colors. Yet we've been learning of late, the last few years, that the observance of Thanksgiving is somewhat problematic in Canada, and it's due to the origin of the holiday that we call Thanksgiving, or perhaps due to our shared stories about the origin of the holiday. I grew up in the United States, and we had a myth that we believed. It was a myth that we were taught in public school of pilgrims coming to what would have been New England later on and sharing that first Thanksgiving meal together with happy harmony with the natives. And you likely have seen the pictures of such a feast. But we've learned later that that myth is not true. Now, in Canada, we did not have our own myth. So to some extent, we borrowed the U.S. myth about Thanksgiving. Different attempts at implementing Thanksgiving bounced around for many years. It wasn't until 1957 that the Parliament of Canada declared that the second Monday in October should be, quote, a day of general thanksgiving to Almighty God for the bountiful harvest with which Canada has been blessed. Now, if it had been up to you, would you have created a holiday called Thanksgiving? And if you had decided to create a holiday called Thanksgiving, how would you have decreed that Thanksgiving should be observed? Should it be one for feasting, or one devoted for sports, or family, or other diversions? Or would you do what they did and actually mandate that people spend a day in quiet, grateful reflection? Well, that question of how to observe a holiday is actually not hypothetical this year, is it? Because we got a new holiday just 2 weeks ago. A National Day for Truth and Reconciliation is now a federal holiday. And there's been great discussion on how one should observe a National Day for Truth and Reconciliation. And we now know that the right way to observe this day is not by taking a holiday in Tofino. But how did you observe the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation? Did you wear orange? A lot of people did. Did you go to some sort of commemoration? Quite a few people did. Did you read some special articles or books, or maybe listen to some interviews on the radio? Did you pray? And did you pray with new insight this year? And this, by the same token, how do we observe Thanksgiving? Because First Nations people are clearly reminding us that they are not thankful for a European colonial model that it was imposed upon them. And they are not joining us in being thankful for the bountiful harvest of the Canadian land when it came at the cost of their ancestral homes. And furthermore, this particular Thanksgiving, for the first time, all of our flags on federal buildings and even the buildings of municipal schools here in Toronto, they're flying at half-mast. They've been flying at half-mast since May 30th, so long that maybe we don't even notice or remember why they're flying at half-mast anymore, but they've been at half-mast all this time. And they're going to stay at half-mast, says our Prime Minister, until, quote, we have worked enough with Indigenous communities and leadership to make a clear determination that it is time to raise them again and continue the hard work of reconciliation, end quote. All of this makes the thoughtful keeping of a Thanksgiving holiday problematic. So how do we proceed? And even when we turn to the Bible, we'd be hard-pressed to look for a justification for Thanksgiving Day holiday. Now, it's there in the Old Testament. We could go back to the required feasts of Israel, particularly the Feast of the Incoming, which is the harvest feast. But once we've done that, we've obligated ourselves to keeping several other feasts, and we've probably also obligated ourselves to getting rid of some holidays that we particularly enjoy. But no, the biblical New Testament model of Thanksgiving is more basic and at the same time more comprehensive than just reserving one day to be thankful, isn't it? More basic, I mean, because gratitude is the starting place of our response to God. And more comprehensive because gratitude must characterize our entire lives as Christians. And we read the Heidelberg Catechism, such a little piece of it this morning, because it brings out these two points so well. Because it's the starting place of our response and it also characterizes our entire lives. You know, the third and final section of the Heidelberg Catechism is about gratitude. It's entitled Gratitude. And it begins in Lord's Day 32 by posing the question, since we have been delivered from the misery of sin by grace through Christ without any merit of our own, what is a fitting response? And of course, being the Heidelberg Catechism, we are given the answer. The answer to that question is given to us, quote, so that with our whole lives, we may show that we are thankful to God for all of His benefits. And the section goes on to say that we are to show this thankfulness in two ways. The first way, we are told, is the keeping of God's commands. And the second way is to pray, as we have been taught. So then we get to section 116, which we read today. That section on prayer, section 116, is introduced with the question, why do Christians need to pray? And the answer comes back to us as we responded together, because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives us His grace and His Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly and asking God for these gifts and thanking God for them. Prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. Nothing could be simpler, could it, than saying thank you. If you find in our interactions that I fail to say thank you sometime when it is warranted, I give you my permission to call me on it, because I try to say thank you a lot. And I do this really for one reason. My mother taught me to. She taught me well, and she taught me to say thank you. She taught me by word and by example that a simple thank you does a whole lot for establishing good communication between me and her, and by extension, between me and other people. Showing my appreciation was a very important part about how I learned to communicate with my mother. I think that a well-timed thank you is like gravy on Thanksgiving potatoes. And since our loving God desires to communicate with us, the very act of praying, we are told, shows our gratitude. And gratitude is the secret sauce of the Christian life. This answer 116 in the Heidelberg Catechism points us now to Psalm 116. That's convenient to remember. Psalm 116 is a psalm of thanksgiving. It reminds us of a time when we needed salvation, and we called on the name of the Lord, and the Lord answered with salvation. And this causes us to shout aloud, I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. When God answers our prayers and comes to deliver us, He is speaking our love language. And when we express our thanks to God, we are speaking God's love language. In verse 12 of this Psalm 116, it essentially asks the same question as the Catechism does. What shall I return to the Lord for all His bounty to me? What is a fitting response? And specifically, the writer of that psalm was looking back to a time of God's physical protection for him or her, deliverance from stumbling, affliction, tears, and death. And the response of the worshiper comes here in verse 17. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. The thanksgiving sacrifice was one that did not come once a year. It could be offered at any time in the year. And it was one of the most important of the Old Testament sacrifices, because it allowed individual worshipers like you and me to come to God and just say, thank you. And the key to that sacrifice was not the enormity of the gift that was brought to the altar. It was the sincerity of the heart of the worshiper. Psalm 116 reveals the heart of a grateful worshiper. So, what indeed shall we return to the Lord for all of His bounty to us, considering that there is no way that we can ever repay God? Well, the psalmist answers his own question in verses 13 and 14. I will lift up the cup of salvation, and I will call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all His people. And this may bring to mind the cup of the Lord's Supper, and indeed it should. As we were reminded last week, the Lord's Supper is also called Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. When we come together for the Lord's Supper, we are in a very special way thanking God for the salvation that has been given to us. And we literally do, as the psalmist has said, we lift up at that time the cup of salvation. Or today or tomorrow, as you gather for meals physically or virtually, offer a thanksgiving sacrifice. Not in the sense of bringing something to the altar, but doing as Hebrews 11:15 says, offering to God a sacrifice of praise. For such sacrifices, God is pleased, we are told there. And we do this, as the psalmist does, four times in this short little psalm, by calling on the name of the Lord. That is, by prayer. So often, we must admit, the extent of our thanksgiving praying is the blessing before the meal. Literally, that may be all that we pray on a Thanksgiving weekend. Surely, this is not the fitting response that we are called to do. This Psalm 16, though, is very generous with us. It does not beat us over the head to try to get us to be thankful or instruct us to pray. It gently, instead, points us back to bounty. The bounty which surely reminds us of our Thanksgiving holiday. And it gently points us back to a place of peace and gratitude and prayer with the beautiful words of verse 7, "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." So if the government or our employer, and you're my employer, is going to give us a day off to be thankful, then it would be hard to find a better way to observe it than by returning to our rest. A bonus Sabbath, as it were, a dedicated time to communicate with God in that way that He's asked us to communicate, showing our gratitude for God's bounty to us. Well, Heidelberg Catechism Answer 116 goes on, and it says the second reason about why we should pray is to thank God for and ask God for as well His gifts of grace and the Holy Spirit. Grace is all over this Psalm 116, isn't it? As the psalmist recounts how he had been at the end of his rope and how God had delivered him from death. He says, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful." And it summarizes the entire tone of this psalm of thanksgiving. The Holy Spirit, of course, is not mentioned in this Old Testament psalm, but as we read the psalm, we see the Spirit at work in our own lives. For example, as we say in verse 8 with the psalmist, "You have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, and I kept my faith even when I said, I am greatly afflicted." This is the Holy Spirit at work. Jesus has delivered you from death and brought you to new life with God. And Jesus, God, has shown Himself to be gracious, righteous, and merciful. This is all done by the work of Jesus and not by His own merit, or our own merit or effort. And He has poured out His Holy Spirit to keep our feet from stumbling and to enable us to keep faith even when we are greatly afflicted. And He has given us this cup of salvation, that is, a shout of praise to raise in humble gratitude as we call on the name of the Lord with the psalmist. Now, when it comes to gifts like grace and the Holy Spirit, we tend to individualize them, don't we? Because God has been gracious to me by saving me from my sin and giving me eternal life. And we thank God for that. You thank God for that. And God has given me His Holy Spirit to live inside of me as advocate, comforter, guarantor, and groaning prayer helper. Thank you, God, for your Spirit. It is indisputable that I need God's grace and God's Holy Spirit. It is indisputable that you need God's grace and Holy Spirit. We are not called to get complacent and to stop asking for more grace or more measure of the Spirit. So on the contrary, we are to keep asking. And it is good and right to give thanks for those gifts that we have received. Yet the very nature of thanksgiving prayer, the prayer of this weekend, this holiday, should point us outward, not just inward. Thanksgiving prayer should lead us to intercessory prayer. Since God's grace and Holy Spirit are so comprehensive, we're reminded that while we individually are beneficiaries of God's bounty, It's not about me, per se. This holiday is not about me, per se. And perhaps this year, with all that we've been reminded of, our Thanksgiving reflections may cause us to thank God for and ask God for His grace and His Holy Spirit to come upon other people who need it just as much as do we. So this year, add to your Thanksgiving prayer a request for God's grace and Holy Spirit to those who could really use them, but perhaps are not asking for them. Ask for God's grace and Holy Spirit to be poured out on First Nations people across this nation as they go through their present grief. The words of verse 7 come back to us from the heart of this psalm of gratitude, words which have given you and me so much comfort at the death of loved ones, precious in the sight of the Lord as the death of His faithful ones. As people who believe Jesus when He said that not a single sparrow will fall to the ground apart from your Father, we know that the death of residential school children was precious in God's sight too. And on this Thanksgiving weekend, I am so thankful for Canada. And as one like so many of you was not born here in Canada, I'm truly grateful to be living here. And yet I'm learning to hold that gratitude in tension with the undeniable reality that the presence of our ancestors on this continent, and indeed our own presence here, has come at a real quantifiable cost to First Nations people. We speak of bounty, and there is sufficient bounty in this land we call Canada for all who live here, Indigenous, European, or wherever we're descended from. But even more to the point, there's sufficient bounty in God's grace for all who call upon Him. And the fact that not all are calling upon Him is for our shame, but for their misery. So this Thanksgiving, yes, be thankful for what God has done for you. Never cease to be thankful. And pray for God's grace for those who are not praying for it themselves. Tomorrow we've been given an entire day to be thankful, and I hope that you will spend some time with God in Psalm 116. Sometime before the meal preparations and the family frenzy, give space for God to return your soul to a place of quiet rest. Recall how God has saved you, not because of what you have done, but because He is gracious and righteous and merciful. Know that He wants to be in communication with you, and in response to that, tell Him, "I love you. I love you, Lord." Thank Him for His Holy Spirit and for grace. Remember that the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. And ask that rhetorical question, "What, Lord, shall I return to You for all Your bounty to me?" And sometime over the course of the day, lift up a cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord with a sacrifice of praise. And then remember as well those souls who are not at rest this Thanksgiving holiday. Think outward. Intercede for God's grace and Holy Spirit to be poured out on First Nations peoples. Remember why the flags are flying at half-mast, and on their behalf, call on the name of the Lord. It's now our opportunity to enter into congregational prayer. Ask that you join me, and at the end we will share the reading of the Lord's Prayer together. It will be on the screen for you at that time. Let us pray, please. Our Lord, thank You for Jesus. Thank You that we can call on Your name through Jesus, and we do this now. In the name of Jesus, coming to You with our thanksgivings and our intercessions. Lord, we are thankful for a day in which we've been reminded to remember Your bounty. And we do. We thank You now. We thank You for our salvation. We thank You for Your grace, Your Holy Spirit, for all that You've done for us in Jesus Christ. We thank You for giving us peace and reconciliation with You. We thank You for this country that we live in. We thank You for giving us a home here. We thank You for giving us a place here. We thank You for blessing us here as You have. But Lord, those who established this holiday, 1957, forgot to remind us that it's not the same for every person here. And so we pray, Lord, for Your grace and Your Holy Spirit to be poured out upon First Nations people in a time of mourning that they're in right now. And we pray, Lord, that this time of mourning will indeed take us to a place of reconciliation, and that they may find peace in their souls for the children that were lost over the last 100 years. So, Lord, we ask for your grace upon this nation now, that settler and First Nation people might come together in reconciliation. And that this holiday you would teach us what we need to learn about reconciliation and about what still needs to be repaired. Lord, I thank you for this church. It's not an easy time right now, but we have so much to be thankful for. We are gathered here face to face. We are meeting with a live stream. We are able to gather in that way. And we are continuing to find ways to be together. Lord, we ask for your grace for one another as we do so, navigating the pitfalls and the speed bumps of coming out of this pandemic. Lord, may we be gracious to one another as you have been gracious to us. I thank you for the leaders of this church and how hard they work. I ask, Lord, that you would give them renewed energy day by day to keep working and to keep dreaming for this church. Lord, we ask that as we come out of this pandemic, you would continue to take us forward, continue to bring people to us. And we thank you for people who are tuning in and who have a hunger and thirst for your word. We are grateful. At the same time, Lord, we have many needs. All of us know some who have passed, and we remember them now on this Thanksgiving weekend. And Lord, may their memory bring us joy. We have some who are sick, and thank you that Jane is back with us, and we are grateful for her and grateful for your care in her life, and ask that you would continue to heal her. We thank you that Lynn and Sybil and Alice are out of hospital, and Lord, we thank you for your healing for them and ask for your continued strength and healing for each one of them. Others, Lord, have come with sicknesses and conditions, and we ask for your healing for them as well. Lord, in all of this, we are confident, even when we are afflicted, you allow us to keep our faith. We thank you for this. So, Lord, right now we return our souls to you, to this place of rest that you give us, as we pray, as you have taught us to pray, in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours forever. Amen. Amen. Will you stand, please, and let's sing a song of response.
Streets of abundance flow. Blessed be your name.
is also fitting that we should return to the Lord in terms of offerings of our finances, our money. And so we take up two offerings at this church. The first is for the ongoing work of this church, and the second is for a special cause every week. And this week, we give again to the Loaves and Fishes Project for the relief of global hunger. It's in partnership with World Renew and with the Canadian Food Grains Bank. Every dollar that you give would be multiplied approximately 10 times. So Loaves and Fishes is surely the right description for this. If you need more information, you can see Dorothy, you can read our church bulletin, or on the church website, we've posted complete information and links to all of these organizations. Now I'd like to leave you with God's blessing, again from Philippians, this time from Philippians 4. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. We have a new tradition we're starting right now. There's a pumpkin outside. Just ask you to write one word of thanks on the pumpkin, whatever is on your heart right now. It's outside, and that's an encouragement for us all to just go out in the front where we can talk more freely during this time. So please, it's a beautiful day. The sidewalk is beckoning. Please join us out there. We'll sing one more song of exit.